يقولون سلام سلام ولا هنا سلام.
You're listening to Middle East Analysis, a podcast series from the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales. Hello, and welcome to our special Middle East Analysis. Now, it's been 2 weeks since the Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, was in Lebanon in the Middle East, where he released his post-synodal apostolic exhortation, that's a mouthful, on the Middle East. And I'm here to talk about that visit with our consultant on the region, that's Dr. Harry Hagopian, and our special guest, Bishop Declan Lang of Clifton, who is the chair of our Department of International Affairs. Welcome, both of you.
Nice seeing you, James.
Now, where to start with this? There were some worries about security, about the Pope's safety. It didn't really turn into much of a problem, did it, in the end, Harry?
In the end, no, it didn't. And it was a very successful visit at the end of the day. But I know that the weeks leading up to that visit were quite anxious weeks, because many people, both within Lebanon itself, within the Maronite Church, as well as at the Vatican in Rome, were a little bit anxious whether it was the appropriate time for the Holy Father to visit Lebanon and bring with him his message for the whole Middle East region. And let us emphasize that this was not a visit only to Lebanon, but to the whole Middle East region. So the geography was Lebanon, the demography was the whole Middle East and North Africa. And many people actually advised Pope Benedict XVI that perhaps it would be wise to postpone that visit for later. But then cooler heads prevailed and the security was very tight and the churches in the region were very encouraging of the Pope to visit. So the visit eventually took place and many people watched it or heard about it. And I think eventually it ended up being quite an interesting landmark in the history of the region. Now, landmarks can either be ephemeral and disappear or they can have some long-lasting effect, and perhaps that's one of the things that the months and years ahead will tell us.
One of the interesting things that Pope Benedict said, he never had a second thought about it himself.
Absolutely.
He was always determined he was going, and he was going as an apostle of peace, as well as to launch the document for the whole of the Middle East.
Absolutely, Bishop, and it is interesting because although many people were advising him to be careful, I think the fact that the region is fraught with so many problems actually encouraged him to go, because he thought that he was bringing with him a message of peace, as you said, and a message of reconciliation across the whole region.
Now, he certainly did bring that message of peace, and you did pick up on the fact that this was a visit for the whole region. Now, Bishop Declan, you've been to Lebanon yourself not so very long ago. How did you find the Christian community out there?
As I said earlier once on another podcast, one of the things that struck me about Lebanon and the other Middle East countries is that the Christian communities are very ancient communities. They're some of the oldest Christian communities throughout the world, and they have that sense of history, that they are rooted in the countries. They're not foreigners. These countries are their homes, and I think that's important for us all to remember.
And clearly a fundamental point here is that in the Middle East, Muslims, Christians that have to live side by side. And the Pope did come with that message of togetherness and peace. I did want to ask you, though, Harry, when it comes to interreligious dialogue, how possible actually is it in today's Middle East to make some sort of tangible progress with interreligious dialogue?
It is less impossible than one would think at first glance, James. The region is clearly going through some convulsive moments. The so-called Arab Spring has many, many good things to it, but it also has imported into it some bad and anxious moments as well. So there are questions that are being asked, but I think that the fact that Lebanon was chosen as the geography, as the venue where the Pope came, was very telling, because if there is one country in the whole region today that really is a witness to that common living, common partnership, despite all the problems, the pitfalls, the anxieties, and even the suspicions, one community about the other, that is in Lebanon. The Arabic expression for it is al-aish al-mushtarak, common living, which is really what the Pope focused on during his visit. And if I may just add here that, in my opinion, there were three or four levels for the visit. The first level was to meet the hierarchs and leaders of the Catholic churches across the whole region. So you had the Catholic leaders of Israel and Palestine, Iraq, Egypt, Lebanon, Syria. All of them were gathered in Lebanon. So that was the first level. The second level was the ecumenical level, because you also met with the Christian leaders of the other churches, namely the Orthodox churches, which are a majority in some of those countries. Thirdly, he addressed himself to the interfaith level and particularly Christian-Muslim dialogue. And what actually struck me is that everybody from the Grand Mufti of Lebanon, Qabbani, all the way to the Mufti of Tripoli, where there have been some clashes, to even the Shia Mufti and Hezbollah, have all welcomed the Pope. And what has happened is that there was a meeting that brought together at Kirke, the patriarchal see in Beirut, that Bishop Declan and I went to visit, both the former patriarch and the new one. They had a meeting there of all the Christian and Muslim leaders, Christian, Sunni, Shi'i, in order to discuss the way forward after the visit of the Pope, as well as to discuss Syria and the sectarian violence across some parts of the region. So in a sense, there are problems. People depict this as a Sunni-Shi'i clash. In some ways, I can see why that is being depicted as such, but I wouldn't be so basic as to put it only to that. And in a sense, the Pope coming and talking to everybody and saying enough violence, enough killing, is one indication of that there is there something that needs to come out, and people have to encourage it to come out. Hence, I said the exhortation, the document was there. What are the steps to follow?
Now, Bishop Declan, the Pope quite clearly said, I think this was to young people during that visit, that religious freedom is fundamental to stability. Now, I guess that goes for the whole world, but very particularly in the Middle East, doesn't it?
I think it's true for the whole world, and it is true certainly for the Middle East, that respect for people's religious freedom is not just a matter of them being able to go to the church or to the mosque or to wherever. It is being able to actually live one's faith quite openly and to do it without fear. That's an important aspect of religious freedom. Just to take up a little bit what Harry was saying, that question of dialogue as well. Obviously, the call was to religious leaders and political leaders, and that's a very important level to talk at. But he also pointed out, he said, within families, there's a mixture often of Christians and Muslims, and those families get on together. Yep. And it's often at that level that things happen very fruitfully. And it's at that level that there's often hope, rather than at the higher level, where sometimes for various political and historical reasons there can be tensions which are not so experienced at the family level. And in the whole area of Christian dialogue, that level of people living together, learning just to live together and be together, is the first stage of dialogue, and it's an important area for us to remember.
Absolutely. And James, as you might know, and the bishop certainly knows, that I was the Associate General Secretary of the Middle East Council of Churches for many, many years in Beirut and the region. And what we used to say is exactly what the bishop has said about the region, that witness is not only scriptural, that witness could be from common living, from people living together, neighbors next to each other. I grew up in a neighborhood where Christians and Muslims were living next to each other. It never at that time occurred to me that my neighbor to the right is a Muslim and my neighbor to the left is a Christian. I used to go out on our bikes and play football and things. It never occurred. This has changed. And I think part of what the Pope did, and this is something that many people in Lebanon have told me, because I spoke with precisely what you said, Bishop, ordinary people in ordinary families, people I know from so many visits to the country. I said, what did you get out of it? And they said that he was talking to us. He was not talking over our heads, but he was talking to us. And some people went even further than that, James, to say that he actually focused on the Muslim communities more than he did on the Christian communities. And I can see the viability of that, given the realities in the region at the moment.
Now, I'd quite like to pick up on that, Bishop Declan, because Harry was talking about the Holy Father speaking to the people. Now, we had that, didn't we, not 2 years ago, when the Pope came over to England and Wales. And it's done a great deal, I think, and perhaps things that we haven't yet seen in this country to galvanise the people, not just the Catholics. Do you think it will have a similar impact on not just the people of Lebanon, but the wider Middle East?
I certainly hope so. Again, there was a hesitancy about Pope Benedict coming to visit this country, and the visit proved to be a great success, because I think that the Pope spoke at a very basic level to us all. And I think wherever he goes, his message is always one of hope and peace. And it's a matter of that being taken up and people realising that this can become a reality. I think often people just need encouragement, and they need to feel that there's somebody who understands them. And if there is that understanding and encouragement and respect, then things can happen. The Middle East, Harry knows it far better than I do, is a very complicated area, so I wouldn't dare to prophesy, as Harry says, what the future will be there.
Harry himself frequently declares he's not a prophet, but I am going to put that to you. What will this mean to the wider region?
I'll tell you what it means to me, and in a sense to the wider region, from what I've seen post the visit, James. If I look at the whole 3 days, and all the political meetings, the interfaith meetings, the ecumenical meetings, even the mass at the waterfront, which was absolutely captivating, and everybody was there. The one event that really sticks in my mind is the meeting that the Pope had with the youth of Lebanon. And not only the youth of Lebanon, but people who had, despite all the problems in the region, people who had come from neighboring countries. I was following the visit and I was following that particular meeting, and the flags of so many different countries were there evident. And I was talking to people who had actually waited for hours and hours on end in the sun, in a very punishing sun, as the bishop knows, because we were there in summer and it is hot. When they were waiting for hours and hours and they were being taken by buses to the meeting point near Ibkirke, it was absolutely fascinating. And those people were re-energized, reactivated. So for me, what Pope John Paul II used to do, which is address the young people, Pope Benedict XVI is also following in the same pattern to some extent. And the reaction he's getting from the Middle East, where religion and culture are so much more inextricably intertwined, in a way we here separate God and Caesar far, far more crucially, I think it's going to make a difference. And I think it has already shown to the region, let alone to the churches, that there is a lot of potential there that, as the bishop said, needs to be unleashed. But for it to be unleashed, it needs discipleship and it needs leadership. And that's what we hope will happen in the region.
And I think what is also potentially needed, and the Pope does address this as well, is for people to stay in the region. I mean, we've talked about exodus, haven't we, from certain countries to others. We've talked about Iraq into Syria in the past. We've talked of Syrians into Turkey, of course, and the situations there now, and neighbouring Lebanon, of course, that we're focusing on. The Pope basically did say, especially to the young people, you are the future of this country. Together, seek to build it.
One of my favourite Catholic Church leaders was and still is the Latin Patriarch Emeritus of Jerusalem, Michel Sabah. I have a lot of time for this man. He was my mentor when I was involved with the second track negotiations of the Oslo period between Israel and the Palestinians. And when we used to talk about this issue of emigration of Christians leaving the region into not so much Europe as much as the States and Australia, he used to say, Harry, we might be born here with a cross, but that is our specific cross. We carry it with pride because we as Christians and believers know that that cross will eventually lead us to the resurrection. So emigration, yes, look at Iraq. It's awful. Iraq, half the Christian population in Iraq has been emptied from that country. To a certain extent, other places, the Holy Land, where the Bible found its substance, where the Word was made flesh, there, I mean, there were 20 to 25% Christians. Now you can barely have 2% Christians. And I know Bishop Declan is going to go on a visit in January, I think, to the Holy Land as well. So in a sense, yes, there are fears. But that brings me to another point, James, that you and I have often talked about, and that is faith is not only in numbers. The church started small. with a bunch of ragtag people who didn't really have much of a clue what they were on about, and look where we are today. So yes, it is the quality as much as the quantity. And I think this Pope particularly focuses on that and has done so since his pontificacy started.
Bishop Declan, let's finish with you. Obviously, having visited Lebanon yourself, is it difficult to leave the region without keeping the people in your heart?
They have very much been in my heart since my visit. And because they're in my heart, the people of the Middle East in general have been in my heart. It's part of the world which I was quite ignorant of, but it's part of the world which I'm becoming more aware of and realise its great richness and the great gifts that people have to share with us in those Middle Eastern countries. They're a great people, and they're a people of hospitality, and they're a people of faith and good faith. And I'm sure that the message of peace and reconciliation can become a reality.
James, let me leave you, if the bishop may allow me to have my final word. If I might just quote the Grand Mufti of Lebanon, Qabbani, who said, just before the Pope arrived in Lebanon, he said, "I'm glad that Pope Benedict XVI is coming, because it would dispel the belief in the hearts and minds of many people that all Christians and all Muslims are in different boats in this part of the world. We're not. We're in the same boat. Yes, there are small boats that are going in different directions, but for the majority of the people, that is true. And what we need, again, is the prophetic courage, not only to speak out about it, but also to act upon it. And this is what the weeks and months and years ahead will hopefully show us."
Well, I think that's the reason we give you the final word, Harry. So thank you very much for that.
I'm trying to impress the bishop here.
Bishop Declan, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, James.
And
thank
Dr. Harry Hagopian, thank you. That's Harry Hagopian, our Middle East North Africa consultant, and Bishop Declan Lang, of course, Bishop of Clifton and Chair of the Department of International Affairs here at the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales. Now, you can't hold back the irrepressible Dr. Harry Hagopian, so we'll be back very shortly with another Middle East analysis.